Praise the Lord. We do give everyone a very warm welcome at their service here tonight at Omega Ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do greet you all and you're welcome. And I see already a prayer request for a wee boy called Ollie who's drank cleaning fluid for a car. And we're going to be praying for Ollie tonight. And also we want to remember our brother John Weir. He's running a mission over at Tramara, Kern Park Road, Tramara. Kern Park Road, Tramara, each night at 8 o'clock. Kern Park Road, Tramara. And we've heard some wonderful testimonies that people's been getting saved. And we give God all the glory for that. So we want to pray for Brother John Weir and for the meetings and also for little Ollie tonight. And if anyone has a prayer request, post it up now and we'll pray for you as well this evening. Praise God. I want this evening to preach on the Holy Spirit, and I said this morning, we had a wonderful service this morning. Our brother Mark Anderson brought the Word of God. What are you depending upon? And we know that there's nothing we can depend upon, only the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only thing that we can depend upon. And we need to be looking to the Lord for everything, and we want to look to the Lord tonight, praise God. Let us bow before we turn to Acts chapter 2, but let us bow our heads while we ask for a real touch for this little boy, Ollie. And you know, I remember perhaps my brother's watching tonight, brother Ian McKinstry, but he drank bleach. He drank bleach. He was just a young fella, and my mom and that got him to drink lots of water, and he drank bleach, and he was all right. He's still here. He's doing well. And so God's able. Let's just believe with me for this wee boy, Ollie, this evening, that God will touch him and that everything will be all right, that he'll be well in the name of the Lord. Father in heaven, we do bow before you in Jesus' precious and lovely name. We thank you that it is a name that's far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't come with any good works or righteousness of our own, but we come pleading the merits of thy precious blood. And we thank you that we have open access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for this wee boy called Ollie tonight. I pray that you'll preserve him and protect him and that he'll be all right, Lord, that nothing, no harm will come upon him, even though he's drank this fluid, that, Lord, that you'll make him to be all right. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Father, pray for John Weir, your little evangelist over in Tramara. Pray you'll anoint him. Pray that souls will be saved and that all the glory and all the honor will go to your lovely name. Bless your brother John. Bless the services that lay ahead over this next incoming nights and weeks, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, this evening, help us tonight as we seek to share your word about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does to the human being. And we know, Lord, that your Spirit's a supernatural Spirit because you are a supernatural God. Lord, I pray also for a brother, a friend that was speaking to this morning with the family, that everything will be all right, that you'll undertake at this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me now. I need your Spirit, and I take it by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you do undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. We're going to read Acts 2 in a moment, but just a little introduction. Acts 2, verse 17 and 18. But I want to say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural endowment with power from heaven to equip the Christian for effective witness and service for God. And you will know that Jesus Christ's disciples, he told them that Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on you, then you'll start to preach. But until that, stay where you are. So we see it as a principle in the Bible and the Word of God. And let's remember, we're not following a system or a lodge. We're following God's Word. It has to be and is our foundation. We're built upon a doctrine of the holy apostles and prophets of God. That's what the Word of God declares. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this, and Joseph Smith, and some of you young ones won't know him. I heard him as a young man, and he was an old man. He was a member of the Elam way years ago when I was only a boy. But I heard him. My Uncle John had tapes of him. And I heard him live as well in Banbridge, Elam, as a very young man. And he said this. He said, you know, when you go into a shop to buy a pair of shoes, you never ask the shopkeeper for a pair of tongues. You ask the shopkeeper for a pair of shoes. And when you get the shoes, the tongues is in the shoes. Hallelujah. And I've always blessed me and I've always used that. And I believe when you get the Holy Spirit, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit come with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Both the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit should manifest in all of our lives if we really have the genuine Spirit of God. In the New Testament church, this experience was considered normal by all believers, that they would have the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Let me read you a little quotation from a message called A Super Sign. I want somebody to put their finger on a scripture and show me where he took it out, the Holy Ghost, where he took it out back from the church. It's a supernatural sign to the believer that we've passed from death unto life because we feel the Holy Ghost. We feel the Holy Ghost, and we see it working on our lives, changing us from what we were to what we are right now. Amen. He rose from the dead, thank God, and that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. Now let's read Acts 2, verse 17 to 18. And I better watch the clock tonight because I can go on long tonight. I'm not going to, but I can preach on the Holy Spirit long. There's so much in the Word of God, which sadly, I don't hear anybody preaching today, hardly at all, about the Holy Spirit. But we need to hear preaching about the Holy Spirit, because your book of Acts is based right through on the workings of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 of Acts 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, and he's quoting from Joel 2:28, and this is Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then if we look at verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And he doesn't say three titles. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here it is, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Aren't you glad God called you? And you cannot come. You can't even be saved unless God calls you. No man can know me save to him whom the Son will reveal him. And no man can come to the Son except the Father draweth him. It is all the work of God. And God sent the Holy Spirit after Jesus went back to heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent Because when you study your Bible, you will know that it is known in Scripture as a promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was that he would send the Holy Spirit, but he could not send the Holy Spirit while Jesus was physically here. But Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father, but another Comforter will come in my name. Hallelujah. And he says that he will show you things to come, and he'll even be your teacher. Praise God for that tonight. Hallelujah. Now, what happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? And remember, we're looking at the results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What happened to them in Acts 2 verse 4? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit gave them an utterance. There's so many people today is against the utterance. They don't believe in an utterance, but as a brother Gary said this morning, that Jesus Christ died on the cross speaking in tongues. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hallelujah. I want to tell you this evening, and there's people on here knows that I'm telling the truth. I remember going to pray for a young man. His mother's listening in tonight. He was trailed up the road by a car in an accident. His head bobbed on the road, on the tarmac road, and he banged it up the road, and he was very badly injured, and the ambulance came, and he had to be resuscitated and everything, and he was took to the hospital. And I was called for, and I went to the hospital, and when I reached the hospital bed, his head was the size of three heads. It was so big. Humanly looking, humanly speaking, nothing could be done for him. But I began to pray for him in the hospital, and the Lord never let me pray one word in English. Not one word. Every word that came out of my mouth was in a supernatural unknown tongue. And I knew God done something for that young man. And God raised him up. He's living and he's well today. And he even has a family and everything. And that's many years ago now that the Lord did that. I went to pray for another man, and he was critically ill as well, and they weren't even going to let me see him. But they let me in to see him, and I began to pray for him, and the Holy Spirit, in another language, never a word of English, and God raised him up as well. I don't need to read some book or hear some lecturer that knows nothing about the book of Acts and nothing about the experience of tongues. I don't need to hear that, because they're too late to change me. I have been to that place where God has filled me and filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you this evening, my brother and sister, you need it. You need to get it. You need to get serious with God. You need to seek God for the baptism power of the Holy Ghost. It'll transform you. It'll revitalize you. You'll do things you never thought you could do when the power of God comes on you and the Holy Ghost comes on you. And if the disciples had to have it, and here's one for you. The Virgin Mary herself had to have the Holy Spirit. She couldn't enter heaven until she tarried in the upper room and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If she needed it, we certainly need it. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit gave them utterance. Also, if you go to Acts chapter 8, verse 12, verse 14, 17, the believers in Samaria came to believe in the Lord through the preaching of Philip. You see, listen now. Listen carefully. Philip was an evangelist. Philip brought them the message of salvation, but God had more for them. Too often people get saved and stuck. God does not save you to stick you, but that's only the first part place. He wants to save you, then he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And here in Acts 8, these people were filled with the Holy Ghost, but then God had something more for them. Oh, that preachers would go that bit further. And after you get them saved, get them you know. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, and Philip was sent of God, remember that. Philip was needed, and we need these men like Philip. All these men, there's a fivefold ministry. Don't underestimate any of these ministries, but don't stop them out either. That's got something a wee bit more to give you. Give him room and receive what God's given him as well. Philip preaching things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now Peter and John wasn't going to preach to them about getting saved, because they were saved. But Peter and John had a further message. Are you hearing me? They had a Pentecostal message. It's a bad word today in some places, but I love it. Pentecost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who, when they come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we need Philip. We need the man called Philip, the evangelist that gets them saved. Then we need Peter and John that'll take them further and get them filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the whole thing. Praise God. The whole thing. God wants us to have it all. Hallelujah. Now look at Saul of Tarsus, how he also received the Holy Spirit. And you know that God changed his name from Saul to Paul. He got a name change. He was transformed. Hallelujah. Now, Acts 9, verse 10 to 18. Let's read Acts 9. Let's read verse 10 and verse 11 and right up to 18. Let's just read it. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people need to get straightened up. But you'll never get straightened up until you get into a street called Straight. It's not Crooked Street. There's a lot of crooked so-called Christians. But God wants straight Christians. And the only way to be straight is to get in straight street. And when you get in straight street, you're ready for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. May the Lord help every one of us to be in straight street. And inquired in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive a sight. Now you know, when you read the book of Acts, that Paul the Apostle wasn't always Paul the Apostle, as we've saw, but he was against the church, against the Christians. He breathed out threatenings against them, but he met, while he was on the road to Damascus, a bright light came on him, so bright that he fell down off his horse. He was like a blind man. And he said, Who are you, Jesus? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And he was persecuting the church, God's people. And when you persecute God's people, you are persecuting the Lord himself. That's the Bible. I tell you, it's not good. The Bible says, touch not the Lord's anointed, nor do his servants, nor his prophets, no harm. I hear a lot of people running down, real men of God. That's dangerous work. Very dangerous work. You need to be careful, because a man of God is, you're touching God when you touch that man. Verse 14. And here he had authority from chief priests to bind and torment Paul to call by thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name to the Gentiles. Goes right on down. Right to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, which was called Paul then, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we all talk about the Apostle Paul, and we should do, and the great ministry he had, but it all starts back right here. Paul's ministry didn't start till he got the Holy Ghost. The Lord blinded him, but then he got somebody to pray for him that his eyes would be opened and that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And once he was filled with the Holy Ghost, look at verse 18 says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I'm going to tell you something this evening. I want you to hear me. I'm getting excited. Can't help it. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You'll never see the Bible till you get the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we call it the eye salve of the Holy Spirit. Then when you read this book, it's a new book to you. Because it's all lit up. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit will take off the fathers and reveal it unto you. Isn't that what John 14 says? And John 15 through them scriptures. He will take of the fathers and show to you. You need no man to teach you. For the anointing which you have received will teach you and make known to you all things. We need the Holy Ghost. And this giant of a preacher and this giant of an apostle, and he was Paul the Apostle, needed the Holy Ghost. How much more do me and you need the same Holy Spirit? Look at these results of the Holy Spirit. His eyes opened. The power of God come on him when he got the Holy Ghost. I tell you, you know, it's an old Irish saying, but it's true. It's better felt than telt. And I tell you, God wants you to feel it, wants you to know it. And we know it's not sensation, but I'll tell you what, it feels good. Amen. Now, we can see clearly the Holy Ghost can be received by laying on of hands by the anointed called men of God, Peter and John, and also Ananias here that prayed for Paul. They received the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. But what other ways can the Holy Ghost be received? Don't just put them in a wee box. Our church believes it this way. That's good, but there's lots of ways. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 10, verse 44 to 48. We'll see another way. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Are you listening in tonight? Are you hearing the word of God? While Peter yet speak these words, the Holy Ghost come on them. He never laid his hands on them. He never prayed for them. He preached the word of God. And while he preached the word of God, the Spirit confirmed that word. And the power of the Spirit come on them. Praise God. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's me and you, Gentiles, and clubs on our back. But the Lord loved us, and he gives us the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. What? What? Did you hear that? They heard them speak with tongues. Don't take it out of your Bible. Don't blank it out. It's part of Scripture. It's part of the Word of God. You can't do away with it. It's Acts 10, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized? So they never were baptized in water, and they already had the Holy Ghost. Some people think that you cannot get the Holy Ghost till you're baptized in water. But this scripture disproves that. This scripture shows you, if you're intent and hear the word of God, you can receive the Holy Spirit ever before you're baptized in physical water. Now, once you get the Holy Ghost, once you're saved, you ought to get baptized. You need to come to the pool of baptism because it's scriptural. And somebody said the faith never got baptized. Well, you never got the chance to. But here we say, then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that they should be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in three titles. No, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I tell you, you need the Holy Ghost baptism, and you need the Acts 2:38 water baptism as well. And if you get the real Acts 2:38 water baptism, promised the Holy Ghost. That's the Bible. That's God's word. Hallelujah. What question did Paul ask the disciples at Ephesus in Acts 19? Acts 19. I love the book of Acts. It's a Holy Ghost book. Praise God. I'll tell you, there's a lot of preachers can't touch it. They can't touch it because they don't have the Holy Ghost, so they keep clear of it, and they should do. They need to. Because this is a Holy Ghost book, this book of Acts. It's all about the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Not just some dead religion and getting saved and getting stuck. God wants you to go on with the things of God. He wants you to be saved, and he wants you to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And tell others about Jesus and spread the good news and pray for the sick and all sorts of manifestations and gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to have them. Hallelujah. I know I'm excited. Acts 19, verse 2 to 7. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? There's a lot of people say, I believe, but they've never had the Holy Ghost. And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that ye should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized again. They were baptized twice. Once baptized in the name of the Lord, John's baptism, but they made them get baptized again. This is Acts 2:38 right here, glory to God. And they baptized them again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what happens in verse 6. And when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they speak with tongues. What's that? Yes, it says they speak with tongues. Glory to God. And prophesy. I tell you, there's so much talk today where we don't need tongues. We don't need prophesy, but this book of Acts is full of it. You cannot divorce the supernatural from this Bible. You can't do it. When you divorce the supernatural from this book, you're no more working with this book. You're working with a dead letter and a creed. You can't do it. This is a supernatural book. The gospel's a supernatural gospel. The message these men had was a supernatural message followed with the power of the Holy Ghost. It came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Notice that you can receive the Holy Ghost also by faith. Just like salvation. You can receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Go with me for a moment to the book of Galatians. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 14. Galatians 3, verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith. Now when they heard Peter preach by faith, they received the Holy Ghost. Nobody laid the hands on them, but as they heard the word of God, they received the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And here, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. So you were saved by grace through faith. Are you saved? You can receive the Holy Spirit with the same faith. For it's the same God. Hallelujah. Look down with me to verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that ye might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And the promise of the Spirit, Jesus talked about it, and that promise of the Spirit absolutely came on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. Now also we know there's a correct way to do it. Acts 2:38 says, repent ye therefore, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are afar off, me and you, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So when some dry hide tells me that this experience is not for today, I know he's a liar. That's all he is. He's a false teacher and a false prophet, because my Bible is plain and clear. And it tells me in verse 39, the promise is for me and for you. Why would we not take a promise? God leaves us. If I said to you, there's £1,000, would you not take it? And God has left you and me a promise in the Word of God that we can have the same Holy Spirit that these disciples had. And that's what I want tonight. I hope you want it as well. The genuine Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Let me read you this from a message called Seed of Discrepancy. Now you tell me, is God still calling? I heard people get saved the other night at Brother John Weir's services. Well, that's proof that God is still calling people. When people are getting saved, that is proof that God is still calling people. Now listen, if God is still calling, then the apostolic age is still in existence. Certainly. As many as the Lord our God shall call, ever call, ever will call, as many as he shall call, will still be the apostolic age. For Jesus Christ, it's Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. So we thank God he's still calling men and women, and we're still living in the apostolic age. You can get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit still today. My friend, why receive anything less? Why join up to some dead system when you can have a real, living Jesus Christ that sends the Holy Spirit to you, that baptizes you and endures you with the power of God? Why have anything less? And fills you with the joy of God. Oh, I know there's trials, but brother, they don't compare to the Holy Spirit and the comfort and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to bring you through, brother. Don't fear. Do not fear. The Lord is going to bring you through. How much did Paul himself say he spoke in tongues? A lot of people are against tongues. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18 says this: I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. And Paul also said, forbid not to speak with tongues. Yet we have people that directly breaks the scripture. They break the scripture and they preach against tongues. When Paul says, don't do that. Do not forbid people to speak in tongues. And he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. I don't know about you, but Paul said this: follow me, for I follow Christ. Amen? Follow me, for I follow Christ. And I tell you, that's the one we're following tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice also, there's three things a believer does when he speaks in a genuine tongues. Now I'm going to mention this evening. Three things that a genuine believer does when he speaks in tongues. And I know people talk about those false tongues and dangerous tongues. Never worry about the false. What you want's the real. When your boss pays you on a Friday or whatever day it may be, you don't go into your account and say, here, take the money back. If you got a £20 note, you wouldn't throw out all the other £20 notes. You'd keep the real ones. Get rid of the false, but keep the true. That's what I say. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14. Let me read you that. And then I want you to mark in your Bible. I want you to get a pen handy. I want you to mark this down this evening. Let's receive instruction here tonight from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 to 4. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Hallelujah. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. If you ask me, a lot of us need edifying. And I'll tell you what, if tongues is going to edify me, I'm going to be using them. Amen? Mark these three things down. Number one, a man that speaks in tongues speaks unto God. He is speaking unto God. I believe he has a line of a voice that the devil doesn't even know. Did you hear that? He that speaks in an unknown tongue, a genuine tongue, that's speaking, he's speaking unto God, and the devil isn't, doesn't even know that man's talking about. It is a secret between him and God. There you are. Also, number two, he speaks mysteries. 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 And number three, he edifieth himself. And the word edified, look it up. It means to be charged, to be renewed. If your car battery's flat, it will not start your car in the morning. But if you get a charger, and you put it in the mains, and you put it on the battery, and that's a good charger, it'll boost your battery, it'll recharge the cells, it'll revitalize the battery, put a little acid water in there in them cells, charge her up, and I'll guarantee you in the morning, she will start your vehicle. And a lot of us as Christians are flat, and we need charging. And you need to get these gifts of the Spirit of God and get renewed and edified and charged by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look also, if a believer prays in an unknown tongue, what part of him is then praying? Now you're praying in English, you're praying with this here. You're praying if somebody's read out for you, you're praying, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But a man that's praying in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. So he's not just praying from this here. His spirit is praying. But my understanding is unfruitful. But his spirit is praying to God. And didn't Jesus Christ tell us that it will come to pass that the true worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth? God wants both. How did the Lord Jesus say that a true worshiper would worship God? John 4. Verse 23 to 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. So God, you can't figure God out with your head. You cannot explain God with your mind. You can't do it. God is a spirit, supernatural being. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So you need the word of truth and you need the spirit. You need both. A lot of people say, the word. We've got the word. We don't need anything else. That's not what the word says. The word says, yes, you need the word, but you also need the spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit is that spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. Isn't that right? He is that Spirit of truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty with the Spirit of the Lord. You're set free by truth. Hallelujah. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at John 16, and I'm closing in a moment. I'm not finished. Nowhere near finished. But I'm going to close in a moment. We'll pick it up again. Perhaps Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Pray for us. For the perfect will of God in everything. Verse 13 of John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself. Oh, you want to see it? I done this. No. It's not I. It's all about him, Christ. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit and a genuine preacher will bless the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Hallelujah. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. What's in the future for me? The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit can show you. Get tuned into heaven. Not the television news, because most of it's fake. You know a lot of news is set up. And they tell you what they want you to feed upon and what they want you to hear. But this Bible's the real news. This is God's news. God's news is the most up-to-date there is. He shall glorify me, Jesus Christ, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. This is so clear. We need the Holy Ghost to lead us into all truth, and the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. One more verse as I close, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now let me give you this. The Holy Spirit is not coming in the name of a movement. He's not coming in the name of an organization. The Father will send him in my name. That's the name of Jesus Christ. He's coming in the name of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus himself said. Jesus says, I come in my Father's name. Another will come in his own name. Him will they receive. But I came in my Father's name, and they received me not. You know that the righteous will be persecuted. Sometimes you won't get a pat on the back when you preach the truth. But never worry. When the disciples preach the truth, they get jailed. They're put in jail. That's what happened to the disciples. They get put in jail when they preach the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus Christ. It won't glorify some man in the Bible other than Christ. It will glorify Jesus Christ. It will uplift Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Lord can bring it to you, brother, even if you don't remember it. Get up there and God will fill you. He'll fill your mouth. The Lord can do it. We need the Holy Spirit. Men and women, will you agree with me tonight? If we're going to claim we're Pentecostal, we need to have the Pentecostal fire that this Bible talks about. With these men, look at these books. Look, Ajahn and Ghana, James McKeown, 3,000 churches in 50 years. Mention his name here. Nobody knows much about him. All things are possible. Men and women of God that God used. Get these books. Go online. Don't waste your time with modern books at Sousa Street. This is where it all began, at Sousa Street. The power of God fell at the turn of the century. We can through the dark ages, the gifts, the miracles, the signs and wonders were almost gone. But at the turn of the century, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And God equipped his church. Why should we accept anything less than the full equipment? God wants us to have power to pray against cancers, power to cast out demons, power to cast out devils, power to lay hands on the sick and see them recovered and healed and raised up in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the first church did. And remember, the last church must be like the first church. Hallelujah. Let me finish on this. God's servant, wonderful servant of God, went to the man's place and he saw that he had grafted in the orange tree and all the different grafts on the tree, and they were all citrus fruit, and they all bore of the branch that was grafted in, but they were grafted in on an orange tree. Yet there was lemons and other kinds of fruit. They were living of the life of the orange tree, but they were not orange tree. But yet they were living of the life of the orange tree. And this servant of God asked the man, he said, what would happen if the orange tree ever put forth one of its own original branches from the orange tree root? And he said, if the orange tree ever put forth a branch from the original orange tree root, it will only bear oranges. It will not bear apples or any other fruit. It will only bear oranges. Because if it puts forth from the original root, the original branch, it will bear what the first tree bore. And if the Holy Spirit was poured out once, and it produced speaking in tongues, supernatural acts of the power of God, if the Holy Spirit is poured out again, it will produce the exact same thing it first produced. It will not produce anything different, or else it's something else that's grafted in. Let us be living of the original of the book of Acts, seeking God for the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why should we accept a less religion, a less experience, when we can have the real, genuine Holy Ghost that these early disciples had? I believe that the apostolic days are still here. I believe Bible days are still here. I believe God is able to do far above what you or me can ask or think. Our God's able to do it. I love the words of Wigglesworth. And Wigglesworth says it, and F.F. Bosworth said it. He said, how big is the devil? How big is the devil? If your devil is big and your God is small, you're never going to see much happen. But you need to know that the devil is only made as a tool in the hand of God. And our God is massive. Our God is so, hear me this evening, our God is so big that the heavens of heavens can't contain him, and the clouds above the dust of his feet. Our God is a mighty God. He's big. Is he big in your life tonight? Are you fiddling about? Are you praying? Are you praying some dead denominational prayer? Lord, if it's your will, if you ever could think it possible, Lord, that's a dead prayer. I'm sorry. I'm not here to offend nobody, but I'm here to tell you the truth. This New Testament is God's will. And if it's God's will to see, if it's God's will to heal, I believe that healing is in the atonement because of them seven compound names of Jehovah. And you get a Scofield Bible and go to page 7 at the front of the book, and you will see the seven names of Jehovah, seven compound names, and the Lord is a healer's one of them. I am the Lord that healeth you. That's one of them names. Not just a Savior, but a healer and a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, he's a coming King. He's coming again. Bow your heads with me tonight. If you want prayer, if you want the Spirit of God, put a sign up, a symbol, anything. Make movement. Do something. And believe God. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Ask God for a filling. You that saved and were baptized years ago, ask them to fill you again. Ask God to fill you again. One baptism, many fillings. God bless you, God bless you. Ask them for the deluge of heaven. Oh, that God would fill us, everyone, with the Holy Spirit. I know, man, there's men tuned in here, and I know they're filled with the Spirit. And they don't need anybody to tell them to say amen or hallelujah. It comes out of them. Because it'll be in you, a river, a river in you. You can't stop them talking about Jesus. They'll witness to people. They'll tell people about the Lord because there's something in them that's turning, that's moving. It's the Holy Ghost. Oh, brothers and sisters, receiving the Spirit is to give us power to witness to men and women so that the ultimate thing can happen, that people will get the greatest miracle, salvation. Salvation's the greatest thing. But we need that power of the Holy Ghost to take us beyond our human abilities into the supernatural ability, the ability of the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, Father, I thank you tonight for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I know it's real. I know the Holy Ghost is real. Lord, fill your people, fill me afresh and new with the Holy Ghost. Let every yoke be broken over my brother, over my sister. Break every yoke of the devil, every spirit of fear and bondage. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth tonight, pour out your spirit now into that home, into that car, into that family. May they know your presence, Lord. May a hunger and a thirst come upon your people for a greater awareness, a greater filling of the power of Almighty God. Oh, Lord, we don't want anything less than what the first church had. We want the same experience, the same outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that we can be effective in this day, in this generation, witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'll grant it. Encourage everyone that's tuned in tonight. Strengthen my brother. Strengthen my sister. Put a hunger in every one of us for more of you, more of God. More of God. Oh, Lord, we would for more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. Lord, I pray for any brothers or sisters testifying this evening at a wee meeting or at one of the other services. May you bless them. May you strengthen them. May they know the power of God. And may you use men and women that's on here to win others for you. Take the gift you've given them and multiply it. Use it, Lord. And may you receive all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' precious name. Father, for my brother that's gone through a time just now, I lift him before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch him, O God. Move in his family. Move in the situation. And make everything come out right. In Jesus' name. Touch that sister that's watching in right now. I break the spirit of fear off of her. Lord, let faith arise in her heart, in her mind. Let her begin to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In Jesus' name. Father, I commit it all to you. The people into your trust. Myself to you. All I want is to be in your will. Lord, my will is no use. Man's will is no use. I want your will, your perfect will. Lord, keep us in the center of your will. Save our children. Bless the nurses. Bless the doctors. Bless all that's near and dear to us. Oh, God. Bless your own people, Israel. Bless all that's tuned in and will hear this message. Touch them. Heal them. Fill them. Thrill them in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you all this evening. Forgive me. I'm a little emotional, but you know, there's nothing like the presence of the Holy Spirit. Nothing compares with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I will praise him. I will praise him.
I will praise him. tuned in from Brothers from Belfast, sisters from Belfast, and others tuned in from abroad. God bless you all. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah.